Please turn to page 68 in the front of the hymn book. We have the creeds we call the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, and both of them tell us something about Christ's incarnation. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess, "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary." Likewise in the Nicene Creed, "And I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, who, for us men and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man." The creeds don't exist to teach us about Mary. That's not their main point. They're there to teach us, to allow us to confess, first of all, about who God is and what God has done for us and how he continues to do this for us and bring the blessings of his grace to us. But yet, Mary and her role in God's plan of salvation is not something that we overlook or consider just as a pious legend that we trot out at Christmas time with the nativity set. Rather, it's for us the greatest comfort because it was because of his incarnation in the womb of the Virgin Mary that he truly became our brother, flesh and blood, just like us. You see, there have been many times in the church's history when people have tried to deny that Jesus Christ was truly human. The idea that God can make himself small enough to be flesh and blood, to be small enough to be in the womb of someone like the Virgin Mary, when God is this awesome spirit that has created the world and that fills the world, it boggles our imagination. And in the course of the centuries, there have been people who have stumbled on that stone, because it is just too much for us to grasp that God can become that small for us. Which is why the church also refers to Mary as the mother of God or the bearer of God. Those were important phrases that came up in the church's teaching to ensure that idea would stay with us, that in fact, flesh and blood there in Mary's womb, our brother, was also the God by whom all things were made. It's a mystery beyond our comprehension, and it's one that we rejoice to confess, and we do that today by singing the first two verses, the first two stanzas of hymn number 268 on Mary, Virgin Undefiled. And let's stand to sing those verses. If you were in chapel yesterday or listened to chapel yesterday, we heard a wonderful sermon pointing out the seamless and wonderful way in which God's plan of our salvation unfolded in the pages of the Old Testament, in the pages of the Gospels. And now the hymn continues with this, drawing our attention to the inspired Word of God, especially in verses 3, 4, and 5. Now, the interesting thing, or one of the interesting things about this particular hymn, is it's a Danish hymn, and it existed before the Reformation. It's quite an old text. And it started out its life as a hymn of praise and supplication to the Virgin Mary. And when the Lutheran Church came along and discovered a text like that, and obviously it was a text that was well known because the Church decided to retain it in some form. And what happened frequently at the time of the Lutheran Reformation, they looked backwards to see how the Church had done things in the past and tried to retain those things that could be retained and still practiced without putting anybody's souls in jeopardy. But obviously, a hymn to the Virgin Mary needed to be tweaked. And so the Danish author, we're not sure who he or she was, came to this text that was well known to the Danish people prior to the Reformation and certainly turned it from a hymn to Mary into a hymn of the evangelical persuasion that taught people, of course, turning them always to Scripture and the images of Scripture, too. You'll discover as we sing these next verses that we go back and rely on Old Testament pictures to paint for us the image of the one who was indeed born of the Virgin Mary. So we will sing now verses 3, 4, and 5. Pay attention to how the Lutheran writer draws our attention to Scripture as the source of everything that we can know about our Savior, and all of this without ever underestimating the role of Mary in God's plan of salvation. No longer was she looked at as someone that we would pray to mediate us with the Father. And of course, you can understand if you look at the picture books with the art of the Middle Ages and how many times Christ and God the Father were depicted as far-off creatures, especially the image of Christ the judge sitting on the rainbow, coming back to separate the sheep from the goats. And then at the same time, a picture of gentle Mary, his mother, so appealing to our nature. And as the centuries passed, unfortunately, Mary took the place of Jesus in many people's hearts because she was the one that you could turn to and trust to be kind to you. The Reformation, of course, changed that. Gradually. Even though we look historically back at the time of the Reformation, and it appears that things happened quickly in that century, it was not as fast as we might think it would have been. The Church didn't wake up on November 1st, 1517, and say, "We are now Lutherans, let's have a potluck." In some cases, it took many, many years for the practices, especially the practices of personal piety, that people had developed over the years that were a great comfort to them, even if they were misplaced acts of worship. And the Church was very careful to weed those things out calmly and quietly, but clearly, so that people would eventually turn their attention, in fact, to the one who was born of Mary, the Virgin Undefiled. So let's stand and sing verses 3, 4, and 5. I'd like you now to turn back to page 148. And let us join together in praying Collect number 11. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that of your mercy and compassion, you caused your Son to become incarnate, and through him redeemed us from sin and everlasting death. We beseech you, enlighten our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may ever be thankful for such grace, and comfort ourselves thereby in all tribulation and temptation, and at last obtain eternal salvation. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Now we'll sing stanza 6 of hymn 268. The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us. Amen. Depart in peace.